Revelation chapter number 4, the Bible said these words, and after this, my goodness, I could stop there and run around the building. I looked, behold, a door was open in heaven. The first voice which I heard was, it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I'll show you the things which must be hereafter. Thank you for standing tonight. I want to preach on when we all get to heaven this evening. He said, after this I looked. I'm glad this Bible's given us some look. There's some things I don't know about tonight. But I'm glad He's given us a look into yonder in the glory land world. We discovered the seven churches. As a matter of fact, let's look at the threefold division of this book tonight, as it appears in Revelation 1 and verse 19. Let's look at that, Revelation 1, 19. We've been trying to go through the book of Revelation verse by verse, Wednesday night and Sunday nights. Let's look in verse 19. Here, Jesus tells John, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Now, the threefold vision of this book, first of all, the things which thou hast seen, we've seen the vision of the glorified Christ in chapter 1. Matter of fact, John saw him like this. He said in verse number 5 of Revelation 1, and from Jesus Christ, who's the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that, I like this, loved us and washed us from our sins, plural, in His own blood, hath made us kings and priests to God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Behold, He cometh with clouds. Every eye shall see Him. And they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. He said, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and was and which is to come, the Almighty. Now that first division is the things which thou hast seen. John wrote those things down. He said, the one that washed me in the blood from my sins. I'm glad my sins are under the blood tonight. And let me tell you, child of God, I don't care what you've done in your past. Long as the blood of Christ has forgiven you of those sins, I'm glad the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness tonight. I have no skeletons in my closet. For what God's forgiven me of, I'm glad He's took care of tonight. Lift your head up and be glad that you're washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have no reason to hang your head down about an awful past. Past don't have to dictate the future. So the things which you've seen. And then, notice in verse 19, and the things which are. We covered those seven churches. And my, isn't it unfolding right in our very eyes of this great time, this Laodicean spirit, the power of the people, a democracy in the church house. The church house is a theocracy. No place can you show me where anybody ever voted in a democracy in the New Testament church. It's a theocracy. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost runs everything. He's big enough and knows everything tonight. And I bless His good name. The reason these churches is in a mess this evening, because it's the power of the people, and everybody's got their say-so, and the average Baptist tonight wouldn't know God if he pulled up on a fire truck. And that's why we ought to get out of the way and let God be the God tonight. The things which are. Things are winding down. You better get gloriously saved by the grace of God while it's time to get in the family tonight. This thing's winding down. The Bible said in the last days it will wax worse and worse. I don't want to be a prophet of doom, but I want to read the Bible to you. In the last days, perilous times shall come. They own us. That's like the man said this morning. Isn't it amazing how you got to watch your children? Even downtown Carrollton, somebody molest your little old young'uns. My goodness. Now see, this is the thing about it. Men pastoring today, our forefathers didn't have to deal with this kind of stuff 100 years ago. Because the men of the town had guts enough, they'd just take care of crazy people. Now our liberal politicians say, well, they're crazy. Lock them up 3 weeks, give them a shot, turn them back out to somebody else's youngin. Well, we know that's crazy. Keep them locked up. Things which are the history on the church, the history of this church on earth was pre-written from Pentecost to the rapture, from chapters 2 to 3. And there's no doubt in my mind, we're in Revelation 3 and verse 14, that church of the Laodicea. It was their church. You know something, we use the word loosely, my church. This is Christ's church. Everybody knows what we need, but we better be careful to always realize this is the Lord Jesus' church. Everything here, He owns it. And boy, ain't you glad of that tonight? But you see in verse 14, He said to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, that's the only time that phrase was ever used out of seven churches. It was of the Laodicea, is their church. It's a democracy. Everybody's running it the way they thought it ought to be run. Matter of fact, you'll find in verse number 20, the one that bought them and died for them said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door. In the first church of Ephesus of chapter 2, he's walking amongst the church in the candlesticks. And buddy, he's a shining, high and holy. But isn't it amazing, this last day me and you are living, he's not even in the church house. He's on the outside, knocking, walking in. You know, I told you the other night, Sunday night, when I preached on that thought, I felt like I'd deal with that in revival one night. Well, I did. And I got to thinking, isn't it amazing, the God that bought them and loved them, His own very place, He was knocking, wanting back in. Lord, Liberty Baptist Church tonight, when this complacent Laodicean spirit comes in our church, we better kill it. And when it comes down in your house where you stay, you better kill it. I can tell you couple after couple, you listen to me, young couple, I'm your pastor tonight. Matter of fact, I was supposed to be in someplace else preaching tonight, and I said, you know what, it's about time I better stay home and preach a while. And I'm going to tell you young families something tonight. Everything may be going real good today, but you just go to letting that tower lean, honey, it'll fall. I can tell you a young couple right now, one of the best this church ever seen. Two young'uns. Raised them right. You know what they started drifting. Now, you know what? They're getting a divorce. They're splitting now. They don't love each other. You know what happened? Jesus went on the outside instead of on the inside. And don't you think one second it can't come to where me and you live at. Because we're robed in flesh and we're humans. I don't care how long you've been married. We need Jesus in the midst of everything we got tonight. Amen. And you know, we need a preacher to remind us of that. Now, notice in this last days, this complacent spirit. A compromising spirit. Nothing's wrong no more. But honey, this Bible's still the Word of God tonight. Ain't nothing changed about what Jesus said about nothing. Amen. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. Things which thou hast seen, then the things which are. But now tonight, we're going into this third division of this book, the things which shall be hereafter. Future events to take place after the true church has been taken out of the earth. Matter of fact, in Revelation 4, you do not find the church used again, the word church used again, until chapter 22 and verse 16, until it was all over. My goodness, it's amazing to me what's going on in the church. Did you know, listen to me, Liberty Baptist Church, we've got one of the greatest opportunities as a church of any church I know in America. And this is what happened to our church. You watch this. This is the way the devil will come against our church. He'll rock you to sleep if you're not careful. You know why? Because we're so blessed. We don't hurt for money. We got a nice facility. We've got a decent crowd. You got a decent preacher. All your instruments is filled. Got one of the best choristers and choir men in the country. And you know what you'll do? You'll take it for granted and you'll snooze. And when you snooze, you're going to lose. Lord help this preacher to not have that Laodicean spirit. It bothers me when church pews is open. I don't want to harp and just stay on the negative all the time, but somebody's got to. Boy, that spirit just come in and just make us so happy. And sinners dying and going to hell in their sin. The things which are, but the things which shall be hereafter. Okay. Now watch this. The Bible said in Revelation 3 and 14, in that Laodicean church age, the hour that we're living. All I know is it started. I don't know when it's going to end. But I can tell you this. Jesus is coming. Because He said after this, after what? After this church age. He said, I looked, behold, a door was open. Now God's fixing to give us a glimpse. What are you going to see when you go to heaven? Matter of fact, let me ask this more important question. Are you going to heaven? I mean, you think just your good works is going to get you there because you don't cuss, lie, or steal? You think you're just going to try to do good, and when you get there, if your goodness outweighs your badness, He's going to let you in. It don't work that way. The Bible said, you must be born again. He said, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I'll show thee things which must be hereafter. There is a hereafter. You know, a lot of religions don't believe in a hereafter. There is a hereafter. And so now notch this. Now when we get to heaven, first of all, let's examine the scenes of heaven. You'll see in verse number 2, there is stability. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. What happened to John? John has been caught up out of that body in his spirit, and God is allowing him to see something. Paul had one of these supernatural experiences. He said that he was caught up into the third heaven. He said it was so marvelous. He said he seen things he couldn't even talk about. And now God's done the same thing for John. John is getting a glimpse of some things that he's seen, and he's writing them down that we may know what's waiting on us there in that glorious city. Now, we see, first of all, our sovereign and His stability. Notice this. He says in verse 2, He said, I was in the Spirit, behold, a throne was set in heaven, and there was one set on the throne. Can I tell you folks tonight, the White House, Washington, they are not sitting on the throne. There's one sitting on the throne. And wouldn't that be a blessing if you had underlined that tonight, where one sat on the throne and say, dear God, I wish it was just one sitting on the throne of my heart tonight. Matter of fact, I wonder how many sitting on your throne. Jesus wants to be everything at your house. Everything in your heart. And so He said, this scenery of heaven, we see the sovereign. He said, immediately I saw a throne. And so we see His stability. It speaks of government. God is in charge tonight. Never think for one second what's going on that God's not in charge. He's very much in charge. In the book of Psalms, chapter 47, verse number 8, I want to share this scripture with you before we move on. Psalms 47 and verse number 8. God reigneth over the heathen. And God setteth on the throne of His holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. We see His stability on this throne. It speaks of government. In Psalms 45 and verse 6, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Boy, he is on the throne, and what great stability that we have as a child of God. Somebody that we know that's running things according to as it pleases him, the things that's going to help me and you. Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together to them that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. I don't care what's happened to you in your life, God has allowed things to happen for your good. You know why? Because he's on the throne. He's not asking you no kind of information. He's not even asking you, is it okay? He's not asking no permission from nobody. God's on the throne. And he's ruling and reigning as he sees fit. Now, when we get to heaven, we're going to see the sovereign. We see his stability. And then notice his symbolism. John tries to describe God the way he saw him. Have you ever wondered what God looked like? Well, John says this. He said in verse 3, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. His symbolism. This jasper stone, it's like a diamond, pure and clear. He's holy tonight. Matter of fact, Ezekiel had a vision of God one time in Ezekiel chapter number 1. You might want to underline this. Ezekiel 1 and verse number 26. Here that old prophet wrote and said, above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it. From the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Now here John is trying to describe God's glory and God's holiness. This jasper stone is like a diamond, pure and clear. Can I tell you, God is still holy tonight. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. My goodness, God is so holy. With this jasper stone, we see the look of a diamond, pure and clear and holy. And then he says the sardine stone there in verse number 3. That is blood red, it's flashing and fiery. Can I tell you, we have a God of fire tonight? In Hebrews 12, and verse 29, the Bible says this, wherefore we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. You know what I've noticed that about this God that lives in me? The things he don't like, he loves to burn them up. And you know something? It's like the little girl one time. She said, Grandma said, where'd you say God lives? She said, honey, he lives in my heart. She said, well, Grandma, somebody big as God ought to be sticking out everywhere you go. And that's exactly right. The God of fire, if he lives in you and indwells in you, it ought to be some things burning up in our lives that he's not pleased with. Boy, I wish sometimes he'd just let us do what we want to do. But not this God. God's holy. And he is a God of fire. And so we see this stability, but this symbolism. My goodness, this sardine stone. But then notice, if you would, back to that text, his statues. His statues. The Bible simply said in verse number 3, and he that was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. His statues, what? Oh, he keeps his word, don't he? You see, you remember in Genesis chapter 9 where he told Noah When Noah and them, the storm was over, he said, I'm going to put a bow in the clouds. He said, this is going to be my covenant between man and animals. He said, I will not destroy this earth by water again. And so when God put that rainbow, he said, I'm going to remember my covenant between me and you. Can I tell you, God keeps his promises. And won't it be a blessing when we get to heaven and we see this rainbow and realize our storms are over? I believe with all my heart as a child of God, you're either going in a storm, you're in the midst of the storm, or you're coming out of a storm. But boy, won't it be a blessing when we get you under and we'll see that rainbow. God keeps his words. God keeps his promises. And so here, notice now, he said this rainbow was round about the throne. It encircled it. It was not a semi-circle like the rainbow we see. Have you ever seen a full circle rainbow? I never have. I've seen double rainbows. What a sight. But you know, this is a complete circle of a rainbow. Well, what is that about the statues of God? Well, I'm going to tell you tonight, there's some things that will be cleared up. Right now, we only half know about things. In 1 Corinthians 13 and 12, watch what the Bible says tonight. 1 Corinthians 12. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13 and 12. For now, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Right now we see through a lot of things darkly. In other words, we don't understand. You ever said this, dear God, why? Dear God, what are you doing? I wish I could see it all. But he said, right now we're just looking through a glass darkly. But then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. We're going to know about some things when we get there. It's going to be a complete list then. My goodness, we're not going to wonder about a thing. We're going to know everything when we get there. Boy, a lot of people's going to be disappointed. All these know-it-alls are going to find out they didn't know it all. His statues. And then Ephesians 2 and 7. Watch this verse. Ephesians 2 and 7. Paul's writing now, and he says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. What? That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. We'll never know what God's done for us till we get there. A lot of times we say, poor old pitiful me. But friend, when we get there, it's going to amaze us what God has done for us by his riches of grace. It's a thousand wonders we all ain't in hell tonight. God, by his great love and his mercy. So when we get there, we're going to realize that God keeps his word and his covenant is sure. And then in verse number 4 of Revelation chapter number 4, you'll notice this scenery of heaven. Not only do we see the sovereign and his stability, but now we see the saints in verse number 4. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now here, no doubt, I believe that these elders are representation. There are 12 from the Old Testament tribe. There's 12 from the New Testament area. In other words, 24 makes completion. I believe that's all the saints of God that's been redeemed. And there we're going to be sitting. Look what the Bible said. He said the 20 seats upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. They had on their heads crowns of gold. Notice their position. They are seated. It's amazing to me one day where we'll sit. Right now, positionally, we're sitting in heavenly places. But it's going to be a wonderful day, the day when we realize what God's allowed us and where we can sit in those heavenly places. We see the saints. You know something? those 24 elders, that's a representation of me and you. Won't it be a blessing we get there and see our loved ones? Those that have died and gone on before us. What a blessing to see the saints of God. We see their position, but then we see their purity. Notice this. Look what they're clothed in. They were clothed in white raiment, free from sin. That right there is one of the biggest highlights of heaven to me. No more sin. No more fooling with this stuff. Does this stuff ever mess with you? I mean, it's awful how this stuff right here messes with me. I wish my mind was saved and purified. I mean, ain't it amazing? You just be reading your Bible and having an old, bad, ugly thought. You know what? God knows all that. We're going to a city, honey, where we're going to be robed in white raiment. Free from sin at last. Thank God. We'll never be tempted by sin. We'll never be ruled by sin. And so we notice their position and their purity, but note, if you would, their prize. There's something they had on their heads, crowns of gold. Now, we did a study not long ago about those five crowns that you could obtain. And maybe you're taking notes, but there's five crowns that the Christian can obtain. In James 1 and verse 12, there's a crown of life. 1 Corinthians 9, 24, there's the incorruptible crown. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 17, there's the crown of rejoicing. Then 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6, there's the crown of righteousness. And then in 1 Peter 5 and 1, there's the crown of glory, which I believe it to be the pastor's crown. But here you'll notice that they have obtained a prize. Can I tell you what Paul had to say? In Hebrews 12 and verse number 1, my goodness, what a verse. Hebrews 12 and verse number 1 about this prize. He says, "Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." I wonder what He's got set before you tonight. You'll never know till you run the race and go for it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, watch your Bible in Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 9. Galatians 6 and verse number 9. "Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." How easy it is to fall out of the race by becoming weary. But you know, sometimes you got to say, "Move on, crybaby." Sometimes you got to pull it up and go. And you know something? This flesh gets weary often. But He said, you know what? He said, "In due season we shall reap, if we faint not." I don't know about you, but I want to have some crowns to throw at His feet. And so we see the saints and their position and their purity and their prize. But notice, if we could, back to that text in Revelation 4 and verse 5, there are some sights. He said, "Now the throne preceded lightnings and thunderings and voices." These simply point to the judgments of God. There is a payday someday. Well, people think they're just going to stand before God and smile. God's going to forget about their sin debt. But He said, "Out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices." And then watch this. "There were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." Brother Mike alluded to this morning in his teaching. Here we find not only sights, but now we find the Spirit. Isn't that amazing? Now we're going to see the Spirit that indwelt us and taught us and led us. Did you know the Spirit of God is doing more in this community right now than many you think it is? Look what the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. You ought to underline this in your Bible. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse number 7. For the mystery of iniquity, Satan, doeth already work. Only he, the Holy Spirit's not an it. You don't catch it. You receive him. So only he, who's he? The Holy Spirit, who now letteth, will let. Until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, that Antichrist, whom the Lord shall consume the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. You're not going to get saved without the Holy Ghost. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, there's some things I don't know about, but this I do know. The Bible says, no man comes to the Father except that the one have sent him draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. I know the Holy Spirit's got to get a sinner lost. The Holy Spirit brings us to Christ in a lost condition. That's His job. And right now, this Bible says, according to 2 Thessalonians, verse number 7, the Holy Ghost is suppressing things in our community. But it's coming a day when Jesus says, okay, Holy Ghost, come to heaven with the saints. And when He's taken out of this world, there's going to be things go on in our community that it's going to be unbelievable what's going to happen. A lot of people say, well, I don't believe in the Holy Ghost. You wait till He's taken out of here. You wait till He's taken out of here, friend. You've seen nothing yet. And you know, this is what I believe. The Bible says you're not going to get saved because you're going to believe a lie if you're left here after the tribulation. It said you're going to believe a lie. This Antichrist is going to come in. He's going to do great miracles, miraculous things. And God won't be nowhere around it. The church is gone. My goodness. We see the sights and then we see the Spirit. And then notice this, if we could, back to that book of the Revelation, chapter 4. There was a sea. Sister LaFonda sings a song. I got to thinking about that when I studied this evening. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto a crystal. What's going on with that, preacher? Where is He putting our sins? In the depth of the sea. You ever notice how the sea roars? The waves are high and tossing. Have you noticed how nasty and ugly that sea is? Anybody ever been to the beach and got let down with all that trash on the beach? God's putting your sin in that thing. But buddy, when we get home to heaven, you know what? He ain't putting no more sins there because it's a sea of glass. Boy, I'm glad I'll never sin no more where He has to put my sin. Thank God we will see this sea. So now, not only do we see and examine the scenes of heaven, but now in verse number 6, we're going to enjoy the sounds of heaven. And I don't know what in the world some Baptist is going to do with this. Because the Bible said in verse number 6, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like in the crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. The first beast was like a lion, the second like a calf. The third had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. Now, we're going to enjoy the sounds of heaven. We see the source of praise. God has made some angelic creatures, and they're going to be in the business of praising the Lord. Then we see not only the source of their praise, but the span of their praise. They rest not day and night crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." You ought to underline that word Almighty. That's not half mighty. That's everything tonight. My goodness, can you imagine when we get there and we're going to enjoy the sounds of heaven? There's nothing no better than being in a church service with the sounds of heaven going on. And it bores some people slammed to death because they know nothing about it. But I'm telling you, when we get there, friend, we're going to enjoy the sounds of heaven. We're going to examine this scenery. We're going to enjoy the sounds. But thirdly and lastly, we're going to exalt the sovereign of heaven. Verses 9 through 11. The Bible said, "And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." I want to say, first of all, our worship will be visible. Now, you'll notice this. Why will it be visible? Well, the Bible said that the 24 elders will fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him. Our worship is visible. Praise is something that glorifies God and that points out His worth to others. I said that this morning, and I want to say it again tonight. You ought not just worship God in your heart, because people can't see you worshiping God in your heart. When we get to heaven, our worship's going to be visible. How can you see worship, preacher? I tell you, good start. Nothing wrong with raising your hand toward heaven. Ever how you ought to worship God, it ought to be visible enough to let somebody know what side you own tonight. Some of your little babies in the choir even raise their hands up and thank the Lord Jesus. Our worship ought to be visible. And then our worship is valuable. Look in verse 10. He said that we set before Him, before His throne, and we worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord." Our worship is valuable. There, every selfish motive will have vanished away. We're going to take our crowns, everything God has done for us, and we're going to cast them at His feet. There'll be no selfish motives that day. There's a lot of selfish motives, more than what we think. Selfish preachers, selfish singers, selfish members, everything for the glory of them, but not in that city. Everything's going to be cast at His feet and say, "Dear God, these crowns that You allowed me to obtain, glory be to You. We're going to cast them at Your feet." You know, when you get to heaven, are you going to have any crowns to throw before His feet? I've told this a few times, but I'm going to say it again tonight. Some of you knew this pastor, Brother Kenneth Rooks. He was pastor at Kansas one time and at Carrollton. Now he's a missionary to foreign missions. Brother Kenneth said he was a kid and they didn't have much and they was invited to a birthday party. And he said one of the most awful times he's ever had in his life, he said the mom and daddy of the little kid that was having the birthday party, they set them all around the kitchen table and all the little boys had their gifts in front of them sitting there. And said every one of the little boys started around the table and they would present their gift to the little boy at the party. Said, "It got around to me, preacher," and he said, "You know what?" He said, "I've never in my life felt so ashamed." He said, "I've never in my life felt so out of place." Can I tell you tonight, church? It's going to be a lot of us fill out a place that day because we're going to have nothing. Nothing to cast at His feet. Can, if somebody dies for you and dies for me, can they do any more than that? Then we ought to thank Him for it. And we ought to praise Him. And we ought to do what He asks us to do. And we ought to be faithful and exalt Him every chance that we get. My goodness, I don't know about you, but I sure hope I've got a few crowns to cast at His feet. And so then, not only do we see that their worship was visible, their worship was valuable, their worship was vocal. In verse 11, they said, "Oh, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." I want to say our worship will be vocal because of His worth, simply who He is. His work, all that He's done, and because of His will, His pleasure, God has saved you, kept you safe all these years, put food on your table. Boy, our worship ought to be vocal. Tonight in Hebrews 13, 15, the last place we go when I close, Hebrews 13 and 15. I want Miss Sherry to come tonight if she would. Hebrews 13, 15, the Bible said, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." We ought to thank Him vocally. I don't know why Baptists think that it's wrong to lift their hands. I don't know why Baptists think it's wrong to shout in the church. Folks, I'm telling you, the city where I'm going to, there's going to be that going on for an eternity. Worthy is the Lamb. You know, when we get there and we get to see Christ, the man that hung and died for me, that's going to be something. I've tried to picture in my mind what Christ would look like. I know He has a glorified body. I know the body He has eats. The body He has can walk through closed doors. But I believe we're going to see Him as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You know, the Bible said after this, you listen to me. You may be here tonight and you've never been saved. The Holy Spirit deals with your heart. You better come while you can come. I'm not trying to use no scare tactics tonight. I just want to simply tell you, when this church is out of here, the Bible said you'll be damned because you'll believe a lie. You better respond to the Spirit of God because Christ loves you tonight. Boy, after all this, I guess a good sermon, church, would be to preach on this span of after this. We don't, Brother Mike, we don't know what's in that span of this. Preacher, we can just know after this what it's going to be. I'm glad I got that hope in my heart tonight.